The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
UFC makes its return to ESPN pay-per-view this weekend. UFC 257 headlined by notorious Conor McGregor taking on Dustin Poirier. McGregor sat down with Stephen A. earlier today. Here's what he had to say.
Do you feel you have to win this fight in a very big and dramatic fashion? This can't be a decision. It has to be typical KO from the man that's got 19 knockouts in his UFC career, which would be you. Does it have to end in spectacular fashion?
There you go, Stephen. It's all I know. It's all I do is put people out, and I'm going to do so again on Saturday night. Mark my words.
How do we know that you're not going to retire after knocking out Dustin Poirier, assuming that that's the case? How do we know that you're not going to just walk away again? You've retired a couple of times in your career.
I retired out of frustration. You know what I mean? I couldn't get my belt, and I was like, you know what? You're not going to treat me with respect. I'm gone. You know, sometimes you got to take yourself out of a situation if you're not being respected or appreciated and just, you know, just distance yourself from it. And that's what it was. It was born out of frustration. The truth is the fight game will never get rid of me. Conor McGregor will be here until the day I go out. So that's it. If they line me up, I'll get about seven fights in the next next year and a half. That's what I want. I've done seven fights in my featherweight run inside, like, I believe 14 months. That's what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? I've got four fights left on my contract. I've got four fights left on this contract with the UFC. I do it in the first quarter of 2021 if they give me the dates.
Mm. Amen to that. Sometimes you got to take yourself out of a situation, remove yourself, come back better and stronger.
Yeah.
Preach. You look very young, Stephen A. That was the Stephen's A World set. Looking like a real young buck. This health heating's working for you.
They can catch the full
interview on Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus, right?
I heard a little bit about it. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah. Baby Stephen A. That's what I'm here for.
No. I appreciate you bringing up. You know, I've been working, Max.
Yeah. You're looking young. You look
18
good.
18 pounds.
You look good.
18 pounds lighter.
All right.
This fool shamed me into jumping on the elliptical in between shows, and my back went out.
I know. I hear you.
On the elliptical. I wouldn't advertise that.
We're all trying. All right. Speaking of weight, guys, Max, we know John Jones says he wants to go up to heavyweight. We got Conor back. Which one of these fighters do you think has had a bigger impact on MMA?
They both had a huge impact. I'm going to go with John Jones, okay. And I'll tell you why. If you're a feisty, small athlete, you're going to be a fighter. That's where the money is. And there's no like pound for pound best point guard. If you can't, you're playing with giants. There's no one cares if you're the pound for pound best linebacker. If you're too small to play linebacker, if you weigh 150 pounds, you ain't playing in the NFL. You're not playing Major League Baseball, likely. For every Jose Altuve, you know, there's a million other guys. So the good small athletes are incentivized to go into fighting, especially if they have a fighting spirit, boxing and MMA. But the big athletes in this country, not worldwide, in this country, notice, Stephen A., how we're always like, what happened to the heavyweight division in boxing, right? What happened was the NFL and the NBA. That's what happened. When Muhammad Ali was heavyweight champ, if you get a shot at the title in the 1970s, you get a shot at Ali, you might make $1 million. And an offensive lineman in the NFL might make 30 or 40,000. There was financial incentive to go into fighting. Mm-hmm. And that evaporated because of these other leagues. But you know what happened when John Jones came on the scene? John Jones, from a football family, older brother and younger brother, played in the NFL. Chandler Jones, a star in the NFL. He's an athlete who likes to fight. Mm-hmm. Not a dude who couldn't do other things, so he's fighting. An athlete who likes to fight. And I predict that years from now, remember the Tiger Woods effect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How it's harder for Tiger to beat these guys now because for the first time, athletes' parents were putting golf clubs in their hands. Now Tiger has to face a whole bunch of young guys who are golfing because of him. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the John Jones effect. Big American athletes with options. Mm-hmm. Look at John Jones, and I predict some of those guys are going to be fighters in the future. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of impact.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but I would say Conor McGregor, only from this perspective. John Bones Jones is the best in the world. He's the man. And we all know how how legit he is, how lethal he is, and probably moving up to heavyweight. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does at that level because he's just phenomenal. Having said all of that, he's just a fighter. He's just an elite fighter. Conor McGregor is something else. I'm talking box office. I have been.
You think you have recency bias right now just because it's been Conor more so late?
I'm getting ready to bring up something that's not recent.
Okay.
I've been covering sports for over a quarter century. I've been to some major fights. I remember one time I told you, Max, of all the events, I mean, I was there when Temple was beat UMass. UMass was number 5 in the nation, and John Calipari's coach. I was there covering Allen Iverson when they went to the NBA Finals. You know, I mean, I was there. I was there when Jordan hit his shot over Utah to win his last title. I was there in Utah, okay? I've seen a lot.
I saw you at Cavs, Golden State, Game
right.
7.
Two great events. I've never seen, I felt at the time I never saw anything like when Mike Tyson walked into a ring, and I was there when he fought Andrew Gallada in Detroit after he came out of retirement, and Conor McGregor against Eddie Alvarez at Madison Square Garden
I was
in November
there.
Of 2016. Yes. Now, Molly, I would ask you to pause for a second because you've been to a lot of great events yourself.
Yeah.
When Conor McGregor walked into the arena that night, walked into Madison Square Garden, walked into that octagon, I mean, there are very few moments that you see like that in sports. It's something, man. And what I'm saying to you is the UFC is in good stead. You look at the pandemic and how it's affected everybody. Dana White was pushing for events. And the UFC has been blowing up in the ratings. The interest is elevated. Joe Rogan and all of those dudes doing a great job. Ariel Helwani and those guys doing a great job promoting the sport. When you look at Conor McGregor and the kind of impact he can have, there is no question. I don't think John Bones Jones compares in that regard.
I'm glad you brought up Mike Tyson, because here's the thing about John Bones Jones. What Tyson's appeal was, he was the baddest man on the planet. It doesn't just mean you're heavyweight champ. It was something extra.
Mm-hmm.
No one took that mantle since Tyson. Lennox Lewis was the best, but he was more of a boxer. You had guys like now Tyson Fury, who's also a boxer, and they're British. In MMA, you had Brock Lesnar, a big, strong guy. He wasn't unbeatable.
Yes.
Randy Couture was great, but John Jones really took the mantle from Tyson, and in a new way, because it's more like a street fight than a boxing match, as the baddest man on the planet. When you thought of who's the best, because he's a heavyweight.
But Tyson was box office even after we learned he wasn't the baddest man on the planet. He was still box office. He's retired at age 54.
No doubt.
And still.
Because
and
of that. Because once upon a time, it was
that. Once upon a time, I understand. Well, once upon a time, McGregor was a bad man.
But but he's not a heavyweight.
Right.
John Jones.
Right.
John Jones is going to have an impact that's going to be felt.
He could
for
have
decades.
Had an even bigger impact. We all know that.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
Yeah.
Not over yet.
No, of course. We're not saying that. We're rooting for
love
him.
Love John Jones.
The full interview again with Conor McGregor, Stephen A. in Stephen A's World. You can check that out exclusively on ESPN Plus.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles. miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Big news this week, Philip Rivers announced his retirement from the NFL after a 17-year career in which he played for the Chargers and Indianapolis Colts. Rivers was an eight-time Pro Bowler, ranks fifth all-time in both passing yards and TDs. He has, however, never played in a Super Bowl, leaving some to question if he is Hall of Fame worthy. Stephen A., how do you think Philip Rivers should be remembered?
He's in the category of very good, not great. At least his resume is not great. Philip Rivers, to me, is not a Hall of Famer. I say that respectfully because I'm very fond of him, and I appreciate the career that he's had. You throw for over 63,000 yards, I'm going to give you the respect that it's due. You barely have a 2-to-1 touchdown to turnover rate to interception ratio. I think it's like, what is it, 421 touchdowns, 209 interceptions. You completed about 65% of your career passes, 64.9 to be exact. You've quarterbacked in the National Football League for 17 years. You made the playoffs 7 times. All right? And you never went to a Super Bowl. That is not Hall of Fame. We can slice it any way we want to. That is not Hall of Fame. And if there's anybody with a comparable resume that's in the Hall of Fame, you are doing a disservice to those who are in the Hall of Fame already with obviously more lofty, much more lofty resume. Championships matter. Appearances in championship games matter. Continuity in postseason play matters. All of those things lend itself towards validating. And again, you don't have to win the championship, but all of those things validate. The combination of all of those things. When I'm able to look at your TD to interception ratio, when I'm able to look at you being out of the playoffs more than you were in the playoffs, when I'm able to look at the fact that you've never won a championship, nor have you ever competed in the championship game, it's hard for me for you to have a resume that's absent all those things and then to say you're a Hall of Famer when I'm looking at most Hall of Famers and they don't have that problem. I can't do that. I respect the hell out of Philip Rivers. His knowledge of the game is not to be questioned. Some of the great moments he produced is not to be questioned. I mean, no disrespect, but that resume
you said
is not a Hall of Fame resume.
Very good. What do you say?
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Very Good, I agree. And the tough thing is, and I think he might actually eventually get in. Normally what you said would keep him out, but because he came from the same draft class as Eli and Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer, I think we all agree, he's going to get in.
Yeah.
And Eli, because of his play in the playoffs, he won 2 Super Bowls and on the road beat Favre and Rodgers at Lambeau in 2 different seasons and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most clutch players in the history of American team sports when you look at how he's going to probably get in also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people look at it, they're going to say, I remember Rivers and Eli, and Rivers was maybe a little better than Eli normally. I think he'll eventually get in, but I agree.
I think he gets in too.
I agree. And also he had an Iron Man streak like Eli for a long time, and he was a team guy and a tough guy. But I agree he shouldn't get in. Number one, the numbers that he put up, which were excellent, and I was rooting for him, and I always thought he would win a Super Bowl. He was playing in a Norv Turner offense a lot of the time compared to, say, someone like Eli was playing in a windy situation where the offense was much simpler and more quarterback-friendly, and he had less responsibility in that offense than, say, Eli. And the reason I'm bringing up Eli, not because I'm a Giants fan, but because we all agree on Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting in. So Rivers' stats maybe look a little bit better than they should, in fact. And as Stephen A. points out, they don't look, oh, my God, all-world incredible. And then he was on enough good teams where special quarterback play maybe at least gets you to a Super Bowl. And too often, he didn't come through with good enough play. And a couple times, you could point to it and say, Rivers really should have played better in that game. I think what it adds up to is because of the quarterback class he was in and how he compares to those guys, eventually he'll get in. But it pains me to say because I always rooted for him. I wouldn't vote for him.
Do you realize that Philip Rivers never missed a game in his career?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
I'm just looking at his numbers. Every year since 2006, he got drafted in 2004, of course. 2006, he became a starter.
Yep.
He played all 16 games for the last 14 years.
I mean, that's got to count for something. When we talk about situation in our earlier debate, he wasn't necessarily in the best situation.
It counts to give him respect.
Yeah.
It does not make him a Hall of Famer.
Not the call to the Hall?
I think Roethlisberger and Eli kind of drag him in.
I think they drag him out.
Because he
well,
didn't
Stephen
win.
Well, Stephen A. doesn't even think Eli. Eli should be in. You know, You've argued that before.
I've questioned that, yeah.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Big Perk with us, Kendrick. Always good to see you. Good morning, good afternoon, depending where you are. And you know what, Perk, this morning I needed to channel my inner Kingston and really come into the day strong. So let's just play that video one more time because I just need it on a repeat. Because I don't think we watched it with you. Your son was 7 here. He's now 9. It's the walk-off that really does it for me. The mean mugging and the arms out.
Oh, my
this
Lord.
This kid looks like he's about to stomp through Tokyo.
Unbelievable.
Right there.
What sport? Is he still playing hoops? Or he playing football?
Yeah, he's still playing. He's playing both. He still played both. So he's playing AAU basketball right now. But he played football. He played nose guard. But look, I told him he got to get about 10 or 15 pounds offer him to play basketball, so I'm thinking about putting him on that keto diet at an early age. I don't want him looking like me.
Well, what does he want to play most? What does he like? What does he like most, Kendrick? Does he like basketball or football most? He looked like he liked football, even though he playing basketball.
No, he actually liked basketball, and to be honest, he got way more skills than I ever had. To be honest, you got to see him out there on the court.
Well, listen, I'm gonna say this:
shooting that broke.
I saw his handle and driving to the basket. I mean, he's got a nice handle for a big boy. Because you certainly didn't. You didn't have a handle, Kendrick. You didn't have the ball handling skills.
Here we go.
You can't put that boy on a diet. He's hungry. Look at him. He likes to eat.
That's just the way it is.
I'm just saying.
You can't put your 9-year-old on keto. That's not right. Let the kid eat a carb.
Appetite.
Gotta live.
That brother, boy, he's going to beat up some people. I'm just telling you right now. Listen, he'd be in the force for me. I'm telling you right now. The Knicks could use him now.
Stephen A. wants
the Knicks could use him now.
Watch out, Juvie. Stephen A. wants it for security. All right, Perk, let's be serious here, though, because I'm a little bit confused. The big three, I don't know what the deal is. First time they all play together, they get beat by the Cavs. What's your biggest worry with them?
Well, it's the defensive side of it, Molly. Look, offensively, they're going to score buckets, right? But look, on the offensive end, let me address this first. Steve Nash is going to have to emphasize the word sacrifice. Kyrie Irving, who had been out his first game back, he comes out and takes 28 shots. Now, he was balling. I get that. But if you're on a championship contender, and I heard an interview from Kevin Durant saying, yeah, James and I, back in the day, we were young boys, but we're grown men. Well, since y'all grown men, y'all have to address what's going on, because if I'm Joe Harris, a guy that they paid $72 million to get buckets and to shoot the ball, I don't want to be just standing in the corner not being able to get touches. You're going to need those guys in the long haul, especially in the postseason, to make shots. Role players help you win games in the playoffs. Defensively, they couldn't guard Stephen A., Max, Molly, and myself on the court right now. I mean, they're just giving up whatever. The cap shot 50% from the field and 50% from the three. And I said this when they lost Jared Allen. That was a huge blow. No knock on DeAndre Jordan, but he's just not there right now. It was so bad that they moved KD to the five last night, and I just didn't like it. They have to find a defensive identity, because right now, people are looking at them and licking their chops, knowing that, hey, I could go drop 42 points, or should I say, give them 42 honey buns.
Kendrick, just like I said to Max, I'm not disagreeing about the defense. What I'm saying, that it's clear they have to fix that.
But the reason I bring up their offense, even though I know they're going to score buckets, it's got to be a problem if Kyrie Irving, even though he was flat out balling, first of all, when you taking difficult shots late and the ball is not in Kevin Durant's hands, and number two, you take 24 shots to James Harden's 14. I don't think that's something that could happen. Everybody know you got to come together defensively. You can't just let people score 120, 130, or 40 on you. But offensively, how in God's name do you shoot twice as many times as James Harden?
Well, I think that's on Steve Nash, Stephen A., because I said this yesterday to Dominique on First Take. I said, listen, if I'm Steve Nash, I'm using Kyrie like a six man. And that doesn't mean I'm not starting him, but that means that I'm going to play him probably the first 6 minutes of the first quarter, and then I'm going to bring him in the start of the second to help the bench out and let Kyrie rock out. If you look at their bench production last night, they had 10 points from the bench. 10 points. So what I'm saying is James Harden is doing a great job of facilitating. So you take Kyrie out early, and now you allow guys like Joe Harris, you allow guys like DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green to get shots at the basket and let Kyrie come in off the bench and just say, here, Kyrie, go off, do what you do best, and that score the damn basketball.
Perk, you and I see it exactly alike with one exception. Kyrie can't continue to do what he did, but I don't mind a dude just getting back, not getting in his own head, oh, I got to defer, I can't take shots. Kyrie just went out, did his thing. If that continues, if he's shooting 28 times, that's a problem. I didn't mind it first game back. But I want to get to what you said about defensive identity. They need to get defensive rebounds. Like, they need to be able to get some defensive rebounds. And without Jared Allen on the team, where's that going to come from? Do you think it's defensive identity, like they can solve it with who they have on their roster? Or do you think they need to add a piece to do that kind of dirty work?
No, I actually think they need to add a few pieces. And like I said, there's no knock on DeAndre Jordan because I still believe that he's a backup center in the league. But another thing that I saw last night, Max, was that the defensive scheme. Like, I don't know why they had DeAndre Jordan in a drop coverage. Like, you know, looking at them defensively in the pick and roll, he was in a drop. And I saw so many times that the Cavs were running pick and rolls and Colin Sexton was coming off and doing 1-2 pull-ups and DeAndre Jordan was just dropping back. And then sometimes he didn't know if he was switching or not. So they all have to get on the same page. But at the end of the day, Steve Nash going to have to hold KD accountable. He's going to have to hold Kyrie accountable. And he's going to have to hold James Harden accountable on the defensive end. Because guess what? All the big threes, people can say what they want about Steph and Klay. But I tell you what, that Golden State Warrior team, when they was going to the finals and winning those championships, everybody was praising their offense. But guess what they were ranked? Defensive they were always, yep. Always ranked. Top three defensively in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Even the Celtic team and the Heat team.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get your take on something else because Max is real high on Joel Embiid right now, and I need to know if you think he needs to pump the brakes. So here's the deal. Embiid continued a strong start to the season, 42 points, 10 rebound performance, leading his team to a 117-109 victory over the Celtics last night. One person not impressed with Embiid's work was Boston's Marcus Smart. Take a listen.
You know, we got our hands up a lot of the times, and, you know, he flails and he gets the call. And then down on the other end, you know, we got our guys attacking the rim, getting a lot of contact, and we're just not getting the whistle. It's tough to play like that, and it's tough. I mean, if the roles are reversed, I do it every time. I mean, I'll be on too. If every time I threw my arms up or every time I got touched, I'm going to the free throw line. I mean, it's kind of hard not to get into a rhythm that way when you shoot 21 free throws alone and they allow you to hack on the other end.
Marcus Smart just told me that I flail a lot. Come on. I mean, I'm sure he knows himself and he knows his game too. You know, he does a lot of that. And I don't think I do. You know, the game is physical. Other teams tend to try to be extra physical against me. And I guess I'm just smarter than everybody else. I just take advantage of it.
He's just smarter than everybody else. Max, I'll start with you. So obviously, flopping accusation aside, he is averaging 26-11 right now. Is he, Joel Embiid, your MVP?
So far this season, yes. First of all, his team has the best record in the conference, and it's largely because of him. And it's not just the offense. And you see what the kind of business he gives guys like Tristan Thompson and Tice. Those guys are no match for Embiid. For all the kind of small ball that they play now, Embiid combines some of those skills with some classic big man skills. And there's really not a lot of guys who can match up with him just physically. On offense, gave him 42 points. But defensively, especially in the start of this season, I thought he's been the best player on the team. And Ben Simmons coming back from injury. But Embiid has an enormous impact on defense. So if you're having that kind of impact on both sides of the floor, and your team is the best record in the conference, to me, you're the MVP so far.
Please. I don't even want to hear it. It's Kevin Durant. It's Kevin Durant right now. Let me tell you something right now. Don't look like that, big boy. Kendrick Perkins, you heard me. Kevin Durant right now is more of an MVP than Joel Embiid. The brother averaging 30, 54%, shoot 48% from three-point range. This brother, by the way, Kyrie Irving disappeared for 7 games. Kevin Durant was still flowing. Okay, James Harden came back for the last 3. You know, they won the first 2 and then they lost last night. Let me tell you something right now. You look at KD, 18-month hiatus on an Achilles tear, and then comes back and doesn't look like he's missed a beat. It's one thing if this was the middle of the season. No, he came back immediately looking like KD. And oh, by the way, when you talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, I don't want y'all to pay attention to something. You know what? I'm just done thinking about the Curry. Okay. I'm tired of mentioning it. I've just decided it's all about Curry. Just like little Kendrick Perkins, a.k.a. Stone, okay? Just like he doing his thing on the basketball court and the football field. Look at what the hell Seth Curry doing. You got Daddy, you know, Daddy Curry doing his thing for years. Then you got Steph Curry being the greatest shooter since man, all right? And look at Seth Curry. Look at Seth Curry in Philadelphia right now. Averages 17 a game. Yeah. Shooting about 60% from the field, about 59% from
playing more than
point
he did
range.
In the past, too.
I mean, my God, if you're a Curry, you can shoot, damn it. All right, and that helps because Ben Simmons clearly still can't shoot, only averaging less than 13 a game and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, collectively, with Maxey and Embiid and Curry and Tobias Harris balling and all of this, and Thibault and these boys, I'm looking in Brooklyn. It's KD all day, every day. I mean, just look at this brother right here. Clearly to me, when I think about KD, he going to win 2 awards this year. He going to win MVP, and he going to win Comeback Player of the Year.
Well, look, Stephen A., listen, I'm not totally disagreeing with you about nothing that you're saying about Kevin Durant. He's flat out balling. But we already knew this. The only person that didn't know and had suspicion was Max about, oh, is KD gonna be all right? Because almost always after Achilles tear, you don't be the same player. We know KD is a walking bucket. We know that if he wanted to, he could lead the league in scoring every single year. He's just that type of a talent. But if you look at Joel Embiid and the impact that he's having, he's having the best season of his career right now. And I said this, once they got Doc Rivers, I knew he was going to elevate and challenge Joel Embiid. He looks in phenomenal shape. And then everybody talk about, oh, Joel, you need to get your big butt on the block. And rightfully so. But guess what? He's mixing it up. I'm watching them do the one-leg dirt. I'm watching them bring the ball up, 1-2 dribble pull-ups. I'm watching the big fella Euro step down the lane, going to the block, putting ownerships on the ref, attacking the paint, using that big body, quick spin moves. He's giving it all to us right now. The big fella is in his bag. Defensively, he's locked in. And look, I love Marcus Smart, but I don't agree with him about the game last night. Joel Embiid set the tone from the first quarter, right? And that's a rule in the NBA. And what he did was he set the tone for us being physical in the paint and made the refs say, made the refs take notice that, you know what, we're going to live in this paint. We're going to attack the basket. So the refs start seeing the Philadelphia 76ers attack early, so they start getting the whistle. The Boston Celtics was firing up three-pointers in the first half, so that's why they didn't set the tone for themselves. You can't knock Joel Embiid for being physical and getting to the rack. Right now, Max is right. If I had to give an MVP award to anybody, it would be Joel Embiid.
And one more thing about Embiid. Marcus Smart, who's a very tough player, and he's smart. He's politicking with the refs basically through the media right now. But that's ludicrous that Embiid's getting all these calls. Embiid is right in his response. In fact, he's getting hacked on every play when he gets the ball on the block because there's nothing you can do. And he's getting double and triple teamed, and he's still scoring. Embiid has been phenomenal on both sides of the ball this year so far. And as a result, his team has the best record in the conference. That's an MVP.
That's why he would be the number two guy for league MVP. And by the way, don't give me that best record in the conference. James Harden won the champion, won the league MVP. And Golden State Warriors, the best team in the league. Russell Westbrook won the league MVP. They weren't the number one seed or the team with the best record. There's been plenty of people that have won MVPs that didn't have the best record. That's no criteria here.
They have a dude who's dominating both sides of the floor.
Excuse me, I'm looking at Kevin Durant and what he's bringing to the table. And I Kendrick Perkins, I'm accusing you of the same thing I'm accusing Shaq of. Big man bias. Even though Shaq kind of agreed with me. I think it's big man bias on you, Kendrick Perkins. I think you're being a little bit biased because you're seeing the big boy in the post. You one of those dudes that don't feel that y'all get nearly as much love as you deserve because of how the game has changed and the big man is being ignored and not nearly appreciated as much as they should. Now, you're probably right about that in terms of there needs to be more appreciation, but I think number two in the league MVP is not lacking appreciation. We respect you, Joel Embiid. You big time, but damn it, KD, right now, with all that nonsense going on in Brooklyn, look at how he's been balling from jump.
Well, Stephen A., I could feel like you being biased right now.
About what?
It's happening in Brooklyn. Because it's happening in Brooklyn.
I'm a Knicks fan.
For you being a fellow New Yorker, you're
going to be biased towards,
you know, one of those New York teams. You know what I'm saying, Molly?
Queens.
Don't give me that about I'm being biased with
a big man. He wants to be with, like, the hype team with all the hoopla around.
Hollis is close enough to
Brooklyn.
And he's
with the sad Knicks.
It is close enough. But I don't like the traffic on Atlantic Avenue, so I would be biased against Brooklyn because of that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what Kendrick Perkins missed. This ain't Texas, or we got all that room, all that space on the highway. And by the way, it's two reasons why I wouldn't be supportive. It's the traffic on Atlantic Avenue.
Oh, gosh.
Okay?
There's traffic everywhere
in
New York.
And the BQE, that's number one.
Cupcake.
And number two, the damn taxes in New York, because in Texas, they don't have any state income tax, okay? So I wouldn't be that biased. And number three, I'm a Knicks fan, all right? By the way, they're 7-8. They're only a game back.
And all this stuff. You spend all your time in the two most expensive states.
And you should not be on the
coast. California and New York.
Disney, listen,
you're
Disney,
never going
Disney
to
World
Nashville,
is in Orlando,
Texas. You're
Disney,
never doing that.
Disney World is in Orlando, Florida, and ESPN won't let me go down there.
That's a G-rated world. You're not involved there.
You should not be allowed to talk about the Knicks until they're over 500.
All right.
Over 500. You get on Cowboys fan mediocrity.
Last week, we did talk about the Knicks, and they were over 500.
I'm talking about right now.
I want to ask Kirk a question. Okay, Kirk. Embiid's the first Sixers player to drop 40-10 on the Celtics since Sir Charles back in 87. So talk to me about this. Do you think he could actually lead them to the finals?
I do, especially with the pieces he have around him. He finally have spacing, and Doc Rivers is putting him in position to be successful. Stephen A. just talked about Seth Curry. He's flat out balling. Danny Green is knocking down shots to make him guys honor him. And then you have that young stud coming off the bench and Shake Milton. Hey, look, this kid probably could win Sixth Man of the Year the way that he's playing right now. Ben Simmons, he's playing his role. Yes, he's not scoring a lot of points, but defensively, he's there. He's facilitating for others. He's rebounding at a high level. And then, look, let's give some credit to Dwight Howard, because when he comes in for Joel Embiid, he has been very impactful on the game. And by the way, Rumor has it that Dwight Howard has took Joel Embiid under his wing and has been mentoring him about how to stay in shape, meeting him in the weight room, keeping him on his
toes. Stephen A. got a look on his face, you know, but Stephen A., you can't argue with Dwight Howard. Hey, yes.
Oh, no.
No, you thought it all.
When you said shape, I piped down because Dwight Howard can give advice on how to get in shape.
And he's been Dwight Howard's been valuable, and he's
active defensively, no question. But when you talked about mentoring, I was like,
by the way,
did you
even
a little bit too far? A little bit.
Did you even mention Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris, who started the year like a house on fire? Like the Sixers are deep.
That's like he says Dwight Howard like mentor. That's like somebody trying to mentor Kendrick Perkins on how to look mean. I mean, I don't see that happening. I mean, really?
Yeah, Kendrick needs
I really don't see that happening.
Or Stone.
I really don't
Forget
see that
Kirk.
Happening. I mean,
that's like
somebody mentoring Stone on how to strut. You know what I'm saying?
That's Molly.
I don't see that happening.
That's Molly.
I don't understand that.
That's Molly tutoring Kendrick Perkins on meme mugging.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There she is.
Perk, this was a lot of fun.
Meme mug, Molly. Let me see your meme mug.
That walk off. Oh, my. I can't even meme mug. Well, I can.
KD
MVP. The side has to naturally come out, Max.
KD MVP.
All right, enough. Kendrick, we'll talk to you soon. Always appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Kendrick. All right. Thank you.
Let's talk some football, guys. Championship weekend, and I thought this quote was interesting. So earlier this week, Jerry Rice was asked which quarterback he would take for one game all time. Here's what he said. It's a whole different era, and I would go with Montana any day because he was Joe Cool, and he was in an era where he was not protected. So that got us thinking, if you could have one of these quarterbacks playing this weekend for the game, Max Kellerman, who would you take?
First, let me say, Jerry Rice not wrong about Montana. 4-0 in Super Bowls, 13 TDs, 0 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Like, Brady's the GOAT because he's done it like twice as many, but like, Montana might be the answer of all time. Right now, give me Patrick Mahomes. I told you already earlier in the show, if the question is football, the answer is Mahomes. He is, which quarterback do you want, Mahomes? Who's most valuable to his team, Mahomes? Who has the most to lose, Mahomes? He's the lead dog. He's been in the league for 3 seasons. As a starter, he's about to start his 3rd consecutive championship game. He went from 50 TDs and 12 interceptions MVP to improving that ratio, Super Bowl MVP, calling his own number with the game on the line, dropping like 13, 15 steps, throwing a 60-yard pass to win the game. And now this year, if anything, maybe he was better than the previous 2 seasons, was 14-1 as a starter this year, didn't even play the last game. Patrick Mahomes is the guy I want with the game on the line. He has everything Rodgers has, a little bigger and stronger, and a little more gunslinger in him, a little more juice in terms of, I think, the way the team rallies around him. Give me Mahomes.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I believe in Aaron Rodgers, man. He's a bad man. He just is. 4-1 TD interception ratio. Over 50,000 passing yards, hasn't thrown double-digit interceptions just more than twice in his entire career in a season. I mean, this brother is
so
special. The experience, doing what he has done, bereft of the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has had available to him since the time he put on the Kansas City Chiefs uniform. You know what? He was being coached by McCarthy all of those years. We keep forgetting that. Now he has Matt LaFleur, who's done a good job with them or whatever. But, you know, he had the 27th-ranked offense in Tennessee when he got the Green Bay coaching job. So I could make a legitimate argument that Matt LaFleur is looking so good because Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback. But that's neither here nor there. Give props where it's due. The man's doing the job. You know, he's won 26 games in his first 2 years coaching in the National Football League. So I'm going to give him his respect where it's due. But Aaron Rodgers is a bad brother. This brother is something special. And let me tell you something. If he had the weapons that Patrick Mahomes had against him, had is available to him, Max Kellerman, they wouldn't have lost some AFC championship game. They
tell
wouldn't
you something
have
about
won,
Mahomes.
Hold on. I listen. They wouldn't have won scoreless in the first half against New England a couple of years ago. You understand what I'm saying? That wouldn't have happened. They'd have probably beat New England as opposed to you complaining about how he didn't get the ball back or how it was just
pre-snap
called.
Penalty.
Pre-snap
game was
penalty.
Over.
Okay. They'd have won a Super Bowl last year. They'd probably be going for a 3-peat right now with the weapons they have available
to them. Should've won.
Aaron Rodgers is so special. I'm going to go out here on a limb and say it.
regardless of the 6 Super Bowl titles by Brady, the 4 by Montana, the 4 by Terry Bradshaw, the 3 by Troy Aikman, the 2 by Peyton and Eli Manning, all of that stuff. There is not a quarterback alive or dead that I would have taken ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Going to the grave
that's how
with
I
that.
Feel. Rod, I'm going to the grave with it. That's how I feel about Aaron Rodgers.
That's how I felt, just like you, till I saw Mahomes. Let me tell you something about Mahomes. For his career, playoffs and regular season, he's 43-9 now as a starter. 52 games, 43-9.
His dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher.
Touchdown interception ratio, 128-26, better than 5-1. This dude, like 5-1. This dude is insane. In the playoffs, he's 5-1. The one loss, Tom Brady threw an interception to end the game. Pre-snap penalty gives Brady the ball back. Mahomes never touches the ball again. Or else, I'm telling you, he'd be 7-0 right now in the playoffs. As is, he's 5-1, 14 TDs, 2 interceptions in the playoffs. I'm with you on Aaron Rodgers right up until I saw this dude, Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think there's almost no difference between them. But where there's something to like a little more, I think it's Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, listen, he won a Super Bowl champion, whatever. But listen, I saw him play those first 3.5 quarters in the Super Bowl. I wasn't that impressed.
Making it interesting.
Now, I know that the brother is a superstar and he's all world. But let me tell you something. I'm not ready. I'm not writing the eulogy of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not thinking that Aaron Rodgers
is inferior. He's going to be MVP.
Is inferior to Patrick Mahomes. No, the one dude, and I think it's appropriate that you see them doing those, is this State Farm where they do those commercials together?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
State Farm, right? Because I'm usually thinking State Farm.
Mahomes?
Yeah.
Always CP3. But because he's Mr. State Farm. But Aaron Rodgers with Patrick Mahomes, let me tell you something right now, man, it's not an accident that they got Aaron Rodgers in that commercial. Because remember, he ain't been in the Super Bowl since 2010. Yeah. He won the Super Bowl. So why, if Patrick Mahomes has the Super Bowl championship and a league MVP, why would they feel the need to include Aaron Rodgers in that commercial? Well, for what? You know why? Because they know he's a bad man. He is special. And I know you're not saying he's not special. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to say it again. Alive. Or dead.
Yeah, I know.
There is not a quarterback alive that I would, not a quarterback, period, in NFL history that I would ever look at and go like this. Oh, I don't need Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather have him. Well, there is not one quarterback.
You can say that about Rodgers. I understand because I think it's very close. But let me flip it around on you. Mm-hmm. You look at Rodgers and say, yeah, I want him more than Mahomes. Why? What has Rodgers done that Mahomes has not done?
I will tell you this. Obviously, you say Patrick Mahomes because of youth. I'm saying shove youth aside.
Yeah.
I would say to youth, listen, I don't see anything that Patrick Mahomes has done that Aaron Rodgers can't do.
Or vice versa.
You understand? All right, but what I'm saying
is. Yeah, but he has more talent. It's not apples to apples.
And he's got a better resume.
Barely a better resume.
I'm saying he's been around longer. I trust him. I'm still waiting to see what Patrick Mahomes. Now he's got concussed. Let's see what he does this weekend. This happened to Aaron Rodgers before.
Rodgers has been in the league a long time. You know he doesn't have that much more accomplished than Mahomes already.
I understand that. It ain't his fault.
But is that fair?
It ain't his fault.
You were the one that just argued the situation earlier in the show.
I'm just flipping it around. You're saying, show me what Mahomes can do that Rodgers can't. Let me flip it around. What does Rodgers do that Mahomes does?
I understand that. Rodgers hasn't had the talent available to him. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare sit up there with that blasphemy. Aaron Rodgers, if he had what Patrick Mahomes had available to him, there would be no discussion.
It's tough.
There would be no discussion. None. If Aaron Rodgers had what Patrick Mahomes has.
You realize Mahomes can't be playing any better than he's playing?
Listen,
you can't do more.
If Aaron Rodgers had Reed, Bieniemy, and the crew that he's got with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and all those, Aaron Rodgers would have at least 3 Super Bowls right now.
It's only his 3rd season.
No. I'm not comparing. I'm just talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Mahomes should be working on his 3rd one in his 3rd year.
I understand that. And I'm telling you the same would be said about Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers being a starting quarterback for 13 years.
What does he do with
that
than
crew? If he had anything like that crew, Aaron Rodgers would have at least 3 or 4 Super Bowl titles.
What does he do better than Mahomes?
No, it's just longevity.
No he's one done does anything.
Can't give you longevity today.
I understand that. But let's see what he does before
you
we crown him
so
like that.
You guys so want that to be the Super Bowl, don't you?
That's the
both
best
of you want that matchup.
It's a bad man.
Speaking of a bad man, the notorious Conor McGregor back in the octagon after a year. I cannot wait for that Saturday. Stephen A. sat down with him. And Stephen, Stephen A's world.
Not Stephen A's list.
No, Stephen A's world. You have too Stephen's many shows A-list. And franchises. I can't deal with all your initials. What can we expect when we check it out today on ESPN Plus?
He was very honest, very candid, and he's got a few issues that he addressed as well. So
okay.
We're looking forward to that. And he's had some interesting things to say about Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Stephen A gave me a little glimpse of that, told me a little bit. You don't want to miss it. Yeah. It's actually significant. What he said was significant.
I think they'll fight again, but according to Ariel Helwani, it won't happen soon with how Ramadan's going to line up. He'd have someone else after. Chael Sonnen will be with us tomorrow. Have a fabulous day, everybody. Thank you for spending part of it with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.